Parshas Matos, Beis Tfila, Tovshin Ein Vav. The parasha starts off, Vaydaber Moshe El Roshei HaMatos Lebnei Yisrael, Leimo Zeh HaDovar Ashetziva Hashem. We're just talking to the Roshei HaMatos. It says Rashi, Ma ro'o lo'im lo'kan. Why only here are we told that that Moshe would teach the Torah first to the Roshei HaMatos? Limeid shafaras nedarim b'yochid mumche. A person makes a neder, he makes an oath, a vow. It can be undone with a yochid mumche, with a big Talmud Chacham. Sometimes he could undo it himself. Otherwise, a Beis Din of Shleishet Yoytos can also do a Toras Nedorim. Like we all do in Erev Rosh Hashanah, we do a Toras Nedorim. What is the relevance, what is the connection between the Chochem and our Neder? Why is the Torah empowered the Chochem to undo our Neder? Explains the Kli Yakor. The Kli Yakor over here in Pasuk Gimel, he says, the same way a father can do haftoras nedorim, haftoras nedorim to his daughter's neder, as we learn in this week's parasha. The reason is because the daughter is under her father's domain, and therefore, any neder she makes is on the condition, like an unspoken condition, that my father must agree. If my father doesn't agree, it's like an unspoken condition that from the beginning I never meant to make the neder, since I'm under his auspices, I'm connected to him. Likewise the wife and her husband. Says the Kli Yakor, the same way for each Yisrael, every person needs to connect himself to the Torah, to Chacham. And when he makes a neder, it's like an unspoken condition that Beis Din should agree to this. If you don't agree to this, the neder is not to be said, is not binding. They have to agree, and that's the power the Chacham has to undo, to do Haforas Nedorim. Says the Darkei Musar, we learn from here a very important insight. Of course our Torah has to be in, our mitzvahs we do has to be in line with the Chacham. A person who tefillin are 99% kosher, they are 100% posel. That's obvious that our mitzvahs must follow the guidelines of the Torah, otherwise they're no good. That's obvious. But here we're learning that even things which are outside the strict Torah, we're making a neder, we're deciding to prohibit ourselves to eat a certain piece of cake, to eat some bread, to eat some food, to take certain pleasures. These are outside the Torah. But even so, they must be under the guidelines of the Chacham. And therefore we learn from here, a person, even in his regular life, even in his business life, he should be connected to Chacham and hear whether what he's doing, if Ruach Chachamim Leicha Emenu, if Chachamim think it's a good idea what he's doing, is it the right thing? The Gemara says in Brachos, Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara describes David HaMelech's life cycle. How would he start his day? Well, the Gemara describes how David HaMelech had a harp, had a kinnor next to his bed, and the wind would, when it was time for him to wake up, the wind would come in and blow, and David would hear the beautiful musical notes of the harp, he would get up. Is anyone interested in having such a harp by his bedside? Geschmack, no? Why not? But here's the catch. If you want to copy David, I need to tell you, what time are we discussing? We're not discussing 10 o'clock a.m. We're discussing Chatzoy Salayla. Okay, so if you want to take the harp, you have to get up at Chatzoy Salayla. What do you do at Chatzoy Salayla? Explains the Gemara. Miyad ha'yomed ve'oisek ba'Torah ad she'yal amud ha'shachar. And he would be involved with the Torah till dawn. What would happen at Alois HaShachar? Nichnesu chachmei Yisrael etzloi, the chachomi would come in ve'omuloi. Adoineinu ha'melech, amcho Yisrael tzrichim parnosa. At dawn, the chachomi would come in and say, we have a economical crisis, there's not enough parnosa around, what do we do? And David HaMelech would give his suggestions. That's what the Gemara tells us in Brachas Gimel Amud Beis. The question is, what's the connection to this early getting up, and now the Chachamim come and speak about Parnosa? Ma Kesher, says the Darkei Musar, Hein Hein Advarim. This is what we're talking about. Chachamim didn't stam come and ask David HaMelech, how do we solve the economical crisis? They didn't stop coming and ask David HaMelech. After David HaMelech spent a whole night of Kedusha, of learning Torah, oh, now's the time to discuss with him Parnosa issues. Not just because he's a king, because he was Oisek Ba Torah. From here we learn that Torah should be, we should connect our life to Torah, even things which are strictly outside the strict halachic matters of what's permitted, what's asur. A person should make sure his life is under the shadow, under the guidance of Torah, even things which are outside the strict halachic realm. And that's how you get the Siyata Deshmaya, to make sure the koach, the ruach hachomim noichai menu, the hachomim approve of what he's doing. Now is the time to speak to David about Parnasa, and that's what we learn from this week's parasha, that the Chochem has the koach to undo our neder we made, which is not a direct, wasn't for a mitzvah. Still, we want to make sure that they consent to this. If they don't consent to this, they have the power to undo our neder. The pasuk tells us in pasuk Gimel, "Vayachal dvaroi," a person should not make his words chulin, unimportant. K'chol ha'yotze mipiv yaseh. What comes out of a person's mouth should be done. V'chido, in the name of Reb Chaim Vital, describes the tremendous power of words. We think that words are cheap. We crack jokes. We may say something that's not appropriate. Big deal. As the English sentence says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Is that true? No. That's what they say. Okay? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. So we think words are cheap. The reality is, as we learn from the Zohar and Reb Chaim Vital, that words have a tremendous power. And therefore, when a person uses his words for Kedusha, he's building in the upper world a tremendous Olamos of Kedusha. And if a person uses his words in vulgar language, saying negative things for Averas, he's building tremendous Olamos of bad things in the heavens. And that's what, and therefore says the Chido, in the name of Chaim Vital, that's what our Pasuk is telling us. K'chol ha'yotze mipiv yaseh. We think words do nothing. No. K'chol ha'yotze mipiv, whatever you say, yaseh, it has a tremendous impact in the upper world for good and for bad. On a side point, my wife this week heard a lecture from Shlomo Levenstein, and he said he related how he used to learn in yeshivas called Torah, and one day Rabbi Shlomo Zalman came into the shir and he was completely shocked. He couldn't start the shir. There was silence, and he was he couldn't speak, and after a minute or two, he came back to himself, and he said, "Let me tell you what happened. I know in every yeshiva you have boys who are good boys, you have boys who are not so good, but I didn't know that my yeshiva, I have a murderer, I have a rotzeach in my yeshiva." This is before Rabin got assassinated. Rabin. There was a guy from my yeshiva. Sat next to me. Anyway. Makara. A murderer in the yeshiva. He explains, Hashem Zama, I just heard two guys washing their hands. And one of them said, "If you won't come to my wedding, ani yarog otcha. Im ata lo ba la chatuna sheli, ani yarog otcha. If you won't come to my wedding, I'll kill you." Said the Shlomo Zalman, a person who doesn't have a connection to kill, at some level, could never say those words. How could you use such a term? Obviously, he never meant to actually kill, but it was just an expression. How could you voice such an expression if you are completely disconnected from such an act of murdering, to kill someone? You could never say the words. If you can say those words so cheaply and say, "I'll kill you," it means you have a shaychus, you have a connection to kill at some level. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman was shocked that a bacher could use such a term, because I never knew in my yeshiva I have a rotzeach in my yeshiva. That was on a side point. Our words, we need to be careful of what do we say and how do we use them. In the Sefer Paradis Yosef, in the name of Rav Ozna, he has another interpretation to this pasuk. Lo yachel dvaroi kol hayotze mipiv yaseh. Based on the Gemara in Ksubos, Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us that Shua ben Levi was friends with the Malach Hamavis. Okay, the time came for Shua ben Levi to be taken away. So, time's up. See, ask the Malach Hamavis, "Please show me my place in the world to come." No problem. So the Malach Hamavis takes him, he's still alive, and he takes him to the just outside the next world, and he picks him up above the wall to see inside, and he shows him, "That's where your place is," and whoops, Avshur Malevi jumps inside alive. The Malach HaMovis says, come out, I need to do my mission, I need to kill you first." So Shua Levi took a shvua, an oath, "I'm not coming out." Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is all to be found in the Gemara in Ksubos, Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. It depends. I itshel ha-shvuasa nihadar. V'iloi loy nihadar. Even if Shua Levi in his lifetime has undone his shvuas, he's made an oath, but then he went and he undid it, so this one will undo as well. He'll have to undo his shvuah and come out. But if indeed he's always kept his words, en malasot. And that's why Shua and Levi never died. He's alive in Gan Eden, whatever that means. Says Rav Ozna, that's from the pasuk. Lo yachel dvaroi, a person who always keeps his words. Kol hayotze mipiv yaseh, what he says will be done. A person who always keeps his word, he has a power that what he says will be kept. Hashem will guard those words. A person who he breaks his own words, you can say whatever you want, it doesn't mean anything. But if you're a person who you keep your words, Hashem will make those words to be kept. So therefore, the two pshatim we said, the previous word we said, Kol hayotzeh mipiv yaseh in shamayim, the words we say have an impact yaseh up there. The way Rav Ozna is learning, Over here in this world, in our life, a person who keeps his words have a koach that they will be kept. Later on in the parsha, we meet the story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. In Perek Lamed Beis, we're told, "Umikne Rav hayad Bnei Reuven v'Bnei Gad." They had lots of sheep. Vayavo Bnei Gad u'Bnei Reuven. They come and propose to Moshe and they ask, "Please, we'd like this land as an achuzah." These were the first Yoldim. They didn't want to come to Eretz Yisrael. Vayayim Moshe v'Bnei Gad u'Bnei Reuven. What, you? Your brothers will go to war and you'll sit here. So therefore, Vayayim Moshe, he makes a condition with who? Bnei Gad u'Bnei Reuven. We see the request was asked by Bnei Gad u'Bnei Reuven. The condition that they have to go and fight was made with Bnei Gad u'Bnei Reuven, and the land is given to Bnei Gad u'Bnei Reuven. But then we get a surprise. Lemaisa, when Moshe allocates the land, all of a sudden we meet a third party, Bnei Gad u'Bnei Reuven, and who else? Half of Shevet Menashe. Where did they come from? Are these aliens? Where did they arrive? They didn't ask for the land. They didn't have to pay for it. They didn't have to go and fight for it. So why are they in the picture? Where are they coming from? And to prove the point, we have Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in Bikurim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Ches. There we have a Mishnah describing the mitzvah of Bikurim. Bikurim means the fruit of Eretz Yisrael we have to bring to the Beit HaMikdash. What about the fruit of Eiver HaYarden? The fruit on the other side of the Yarden. Is the mitzvah Bikurim? Says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, no. Because the mitzvah of Bikurim is for Eretz Zovas Horavut Vash, and Eiver HaYarden is not Eretz Zovas Cholavot Vash, the land of milk and honey. The Braisa there says a different reason. You know why Eiver HaYarden don't bring Bikurim? Because we say in the pasuk of Bikurim, Hinei Hivesi Reishis Pri Adomo Asher Nosato Li Hashem. What you gave to me, not what I took for myself. What you gave to me, not what I took. Two reasons. Is it because it's not Eretz Zovas Cholavot Vash, or because it's a land I took and wasn't given to me by Hashem? Says the Gemara, what's the nafkamina? What's the ramification? Which reason? Says the Gemara, the ramification will be for Shevet Menashe. Do they bring Bikurim from Eiver HaYarden? If the reason is because of Eretz Zovas Cholavot Vash, would Bnei Menashe bring?
No.
But if the reason is Asher nosati, nosatoli, not what I took, Bnei Menashe didn't take. It was given to them. Unlike Bnei Gad u'Bnei Reuven. We see explicit in Yerushalmi, Menashe didn't ask for the land, they didn't have to pay the price, they didn't have to go to war for it, as Bnei Gad u'Bnei Reuven did, and we're bewildered. So why in the world did they get the land? Makara didn't ask for it, didn't pay for it, wasn't stipulated that they have to fight. Why are they given different treatment than Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven? The answer is to be found in the Netziv, the Emek Dovar, in Parshas Dvarim. In Parshas Dvarim, the Netziv makes an interesting observation. Moshe Rabbeinu retells the story of Bnei Gad u'Bnei Reuven. And in Parshas Dvarim, Paragimel, it says the following. Moshe Rabbeinu says, we inherited the land. Nosati la Ruveni veragodi, gave it to Reuven and God. Ve'yeter Agilot, the rest of the land. Nosati lechetzi shevet Menashe. Ve'Ruveni veragodi nosati min Agilot. Moshe Rabbeinu continues, goes back to Reuven and God. Ask the Netziv, this is out of order. We start with Reuven and God, in the middle we go to Manasseh, then we go back to Reuven and God. Why don't you finish what you start with, Reuven and God, then deal with Manasseh? Explains the Netziv that Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us a yesod for life. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Ever Yarden is not a Mokum Torah. And the Netziv proves that. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to start the first out-of-town koilel. What is an out-of-town koilel? What does that mean? You have a city that the Torah is weak. There's no much future for the Torah there. What do the local people do? They import a koilel. And you bring in Torah learners to dwell in your city, and that's they will spread the Torah in your city. How do you make it happen? What do you need to start an out-of-town koilo? What's going to make them come? What do you have to offer? Huh? You have to make an attractive deal. Right? If you want to start a koilo in Eilat, so you have to start, offer something that's going to attract them to come. You offer them free dirahs, jobs for their wives, v'chulei v'chulei, good conditions, a good stipend. It's what to talk about. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Reuven and God, they don't have the Torah. They never yell them. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make sure that there'll be Torah there. Therefore, Menashe were Bnei Torah. Look in the Netziv over there, he proves it from a pasuk in Shoftim. Bnei Machir, who is the son of Menashe, Yodah Mechoykekim. Mechoykekim means Gdeile HaTorah, as it says in Moran Sanhedrin. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, he made the offer to Chatzi Shevet Menashe. He told him, listen, come to Eva Yarden, I'm going to give you for free, no conditions, you know. It's on the plate, huge areas of land, equal to the size of Reuven and God together. You get it. Just come and start the out-of-town koilo. And that's why they didn't ask for it. It was given to them. It's a Adama Shana Satali Hashem. I didn't take it for myself. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu starts off Reuven and God. They want the land. I can't give it to them. What about Torah? We'll discuss Menashe. Now we can finish off with Reuven and God. And what Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us, the message for the Jewish people was that a person should make sure to live Mokom Torah. If we see that Moshe Rabbeinu cared to make sure there'll be Torah, so likewise when a person chooses a place to live, he should make sure he's in an area, in an environment where there's Mokom Torah. As we see in the Gemara in Ksubos. The Gemara in Ksubos, Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph tells us, the same way it's forbidden to leave Eretz Yisrael, go to Chutz La'aretz. Likewise, it's forbidden to leave Bavel to go elsewhere. During Bavel, you can't leave Bavel. Why not? Mayesh, why can't I leave Bavel? Says Rashi. Vishishoma Yeshivas, Hamarbitzas Torah Tomid. At the time, Bavel was the center of Torah learning. So you can't leave Bavel and go elsewhere. Because you're supposed to live in Malkum Torah. And the Gemara even says that Nesim, a person who dies, if you can't be buried in Eretz Yisrael, should be buried in Bavel. It's a schus for the mace to be buried in Bavel. Why? Says Rashi, because Shom schus haTorah. Even for a mace is the schus. So that's the message that Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us, to live in the Mokom Torah. It's a schus to be influenced. And if you're in an out-of-town community, either you move here to Bet Shemesh, or you have to import a community koilo. If you have to make it, you have to give an attractive offer, otherwise they won't come. So we just met the Chetzi Shevet Menashe. And the question is, why was Menashe split up into two? There's no other Shevet that was split up. Dan was split up? What's the reason? Well, in Chumash Bereishis, when the brothers came to Yosef, Yosef was the king, and Yosef framed them in the end of Parshas Miketz. The brothers came and Yosef had a meal with them. He sent them off in Perek Mem Dalet. Heim Yotzu es Ha'ir Lerechiku. He went far away. V'Yosef Omar Asher Al Beisai. Yosef told the person in charge of his household, Kum Rodei Fahar Noshim, go run after them. V'saktom, catch them. V'amart Olehim, Lomo Shilamtem Ro Tachas Toivo. It was the plot that Moshe, that Yosef had implanted at the cup, his gavia, and he sends the Asher HaBeisai to run after them and tell them, why did you do bad against my good? Who was this person, Asher HaBeisai? The Torah doesn't tell us. What does the Yoyos and Ben Uziel say on the spot? What does the Medrash say? Who was he? Menashe. How do you know that? I mean, you're right. That's it. Look at the Yoyos and Ben Uziel and the Medrash. You've seen the Musaf Rashi and the Chumash HaMa'or. He quotes the Medrash. I couldn't find it, but that's what they say. It was Menashe. Okay. And what happened? He starts to look, pretend he looks for the cup, and he finds it. Vayimotza gavia bamtachas bin yomin. What happened? What did the brothers do? Right. Vayikru simloisam. They ripped their clothes out of tsar. Then now the brother Binyamin has been caught red-handed stealing kivyochol. So they ripped their clothes. Says the Hadar Skenim from the Bali Atosfas, because that Menashe caused his brothers to rip their clothes, that's where Menashe's Shevet got ripped into two. Chetzi Shevet Menashe was Ever Hayarden, and Chetzi Shevet Menashe was in Eretz Yisrael. Ad kan Chelek Aleph, Hakofa Aleph. Now Hakofa Beis. Why did it happen to them that they ripped their clothes? Akara. Was it just by chance that they were in such a fright, they got framed, and they were put in such a position, they had such sar, such pain, that they ripped their clothes? Is it just by chance that it happened to them? Hakofa Beis. We go back to the parasha before that, when Yosef, when the brothers sold Yosef. And what happens? Vayishluchu es ksoines hapasim. In Parshas Vayeshev, the brothers take Yosef's ksoines pasim, they dip it in the blood. Vayavo laviem, vayomru zois motzonu. We found this ksoines pasim. Hakir no ksoines bin chohim roi. Do you recognize this? Is this your son ksoines? And Yaakov recognizes, yes, Torah of Yosef. Vayikro Yaakov simloiso. Yaakov, out of utter tsar, rips his clothes. Sof the Medrash. Medrash in Perek Tzadik Beis. shvatim gomu laviyem nikroya. Lefikach loku gamhem. They framed their father and made him rip his clothes. They got framed and their clothes got ripped. We learn from all this that the way a person behaves to others, that's how Hashem gives him back. The brothers cause their father a fright. They frame their father, they get framed in the same way they rip their clothes. And even Menashe, who was commanded by his father, Yosef had his reasons why he felt right to pressure his brothers. Even he got punished in a lesser way, that he caused the brothers to rip their clothes, his shevet got ripped. We learn from over here, b'midah she'odah moided, moidedim lo. The way you behave, that's where Hashem will make people behave to you. If you're a tough nut, Hashem will be a tough nut to you. If you're a person who's mevater, ma'avir midosav, you don't look back what people did to you. Just you keep on going. Don't make easy out of things. Don't make a fuss. You're mevater. The ma'avirim lo kol pshov. Likewise in Shemayim, midah k'neged midah, they won't be so focused on what you've done. They also turn a new page, like you turn to new pages to others. That's what we're learning from this week's parasha. The midah she'odah moided, moidedim lo. In this week's parasha, we're told about Milchemes Midyan. Hashem demands Nekama b'Midyan. And the Torah tells us they got prepared for war. Each tribe sent 1,000 soldiers. Elef Lamate, Elef Lamate, Kol Mato Yisrael Tishluhu Latzovo. Vayimosu Me'alfei Yisrael, Elef Lamate. Shnemaso Elef Chalutzei Tzovo. So each tribe gave 1,000 soldiers all together. 12 tribes. So how many soldiers all together? How many? Wrong. You said right. Wrong. Why? Why am I saying wrong? Because the Medrash tells us, Medrash Rabbah, Perakov Beis, it was really, every shevet gave 3,000. It was really 3,000 per shevet. What do you mean? The Torah says 1,000. It was 1,000 combat soldiers, front line. 1,000 soldiers, and you know, to maintain, provide the weapons, guard the weapons, add fuel to the engines, attach the bombs to the missiles, to the helicopters. There was the 1,000 ground troops who weren't actually involved in the fighting, but they were helping. And 1,000 doing what? Davening. And 1,000 mispalalim loim dei Torah as a sus. Elef atfilah. That's why it says three times it's Elef Lamate. Elef Lamate, Elef Lamate. But you must now be so Elef Lamate. It's a hint that there's 1,000 soldiers. For every soldier fighting, there was a person dedicated to the spiritual success of the Mispado. I found Rav Yoshev, there's a sefer called Divrei Agada, which are shmuzim that Rav Yoshev said 60 years ago. And he brought a few chazalim to support this idea. The Gemara Makas Yudah Madalev says, "Oim dois yuragleinu b'shareich Yerushalayim." Our feet were standing at the gates of Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara Makas Yudah Madalev, "Mi goam leragleinu shiyamdu b'molchama." What gave us success at war? Sharei Yerushalayim shuoiskim b'Torah. The Torah brought success. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Mem Tes Amud Aleph. Vayi David oisem mishpat etzdoka l'chol amoi v'yoyav ben sruya l'atzofa. David was doing his stuff, and Yoav was fighting the war. Says the Gemara, Il male David lo yosa Yoav milchama. Without David, Yoav would not be successful at war, says Rashi. Il male David yoisek batoyo lo yosa Yoav milchama. He wouldn't be successful at war. It was the source of David. The Gemara in Seita Chafara from Adalib says, Torah be'idna de'asik ba migna u'matzla. The person on Torah, it protects us. Says Rav Yoshiv, Kal v'choyman. If by milchemes midyan, which was milchama, specially made for nikmas Hashem. Hashem called the war. It was made for nikmas Hashem. Who was in charge of the war? Pinchas ben Elazar. Who went out to war? The Ora in Hashem. And still, for every combat soldier, you needed a mispalel. It says, Biomenu. But it's not, we don't have these conditions. So for sure, for every soldier, we need 10 mispalel. And therefore, if Chas v'Sholem, a soldier gets killed, says Rav Yoshiv, can we claim that our hands are clean? Can we say that Yodeinu lo yishafu es hadam hazeh? Who is to say we did what we could do? Since that we need asar mispalelim, asar lehem de Torah, means with all your strength, with all your koichas, to help that soldier. If a soldier gets killed, can we say it wasn't because of us? Can we say that we're not at fault? Can we really say that we did all we can? That was of Yoshi's horror, he said so many years ago. So therefore the message is for us that we're not on the battlefront, but we are. Because we have the koach of tefillah, we have the koach of Torah. Therefore, we are surrounded by enemies. Believe me, with so many enemies. Last week I came in to Airflot. And as you're coming in, the screen, they had like a map. It's Tel Aviv, and then it says, Palestinian territories. It's Palestinian, it's not territories, Palestinian territories. That's what the whole screen says, Palestinian territories. Hebron, Shechem, nothing Jewish over there. We're surrounded by enemies. We're like a drop of ink in the sea. We're so many enemies around us. We need the Siyata Deshmaya. We have the Koach. Because Hakol Kol Yaakov Vaidayim Et Esav Koicheinu En Koicheinu El Bo Peh. But we have to use our peh. We have to use it for good things. And if we have Koach HaTfilah, and we need to be focused and daven to Hashem to save us from all our enemies. And so through our Torah and our Tfilah, we have that power. So we have to use it. Otherwise, Chas V'Sholom, something happens, we can only blame ourselves. We should be zeicher to incorporate the ideas we learned, the special koach pair we have of kol yotzim piv yaseh can impact the heavens. Also, if we keep our word, Hashem will make our words be kept to make our life part connected to Torah. Have a chochem. A person should be connected to a rav, take advice, see that he's living the right way. Choose to live the Mokim Torah, and remember where Hashem behaves with us like we behave with others, and to use our Koach HaTfilah. Thank you very much. Our coming Shir will be an important topic. Okay, thank you very much. Okay.